Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Tottenham bend time and perhaps the space-time continuum. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 20th of January. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Eddie Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Normally, the theory with the Ramble is that I sit here and I have to move stuff on and I have to like try and bring the two of you or whoever else is on into control. And I have to say, oh, look, we've been talking about something for far too long. We need to get onto the break. We need to get onto the next bit in the running order. But today, the shoe is on the other foot, my friends.
Do you mean that you refuse to do that when you say the shoe is on the other foot?
Yeah, it's on your feet. You're going to have to make us talk about Brentford, Manchester United.
Right. Oh, I see.
Because I am happy to just spend, I mean, what, it's like 2 and a bit minutes. So probably we could just spend about a minute on each of the seconds or something like that.
Well, Jim denies the existence of Spurs playing and I was watching the Brentford game. So I think we're going to have to move on.
Yeah, I think we're done, aren't we?
Oh my God. Oh my God, people, if you're only hearing about this now, then you're in for a treat, frankly. Leicester 2, Tottenham Hotspur 3.
Absolutely mad.
That doesn't really tell it, though, does it?
No, it doesn't tell it at all.
Because
I was just looking, we write out the goals, obviously, and the two Bergwijn goals are 90 plus 5 and 90 plus 7, and there were only, Jim, 5 minutes of injury time.
It's
and
incredible.
If James Maddison hadn't been dicking about, we might not have had time.
So for those, I'm going to assume this is one of those games where most people have seen the highlights, but if you haven't...
But that doesn't even give it to you. If you weren't bloody
really
watching
doesn't.
It, you've missed out, I'm afraid. But we're going to try and bring you that moment in podcast form.
For me, it's the moment is Cianciu sort of screaming in Bergwijn's face at 2-1 with like, what, 30 seconds to go? Then Bergwijn scores twice and Cianciu is slapping the ball out of the net. At the death. Like, it's just unreal.
Because you know, like people, lots of football writers always talk about this, you know, they're writing their notes and then they have to change the whole fucking thing. And I probably don't often do that way in terms of notes for the Ramble. But last night, you know, it was really right at the end of the game. So I was like writing, you know, Leicester closed the gap on Tottenham, blah, 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 all that sort of thing. And I was writing quite a snotty little note about Steven Bergwijn not, you know, getting booked for, not for diving, but he basically did dive.
Yes.
And then pushing over Soyuncu. I was like, fucking hell, Steven. And then
he knew something he didn't.
He knew something I didn't.
And it is amazing, isn't it? Like I'd completely forgotten that bit that you just described with Soyuncu and Bergwijn. That sort of ha standing over him and saying, "Your final attempt to put one over us has not worked." And that was the end of it, except it wasn't.
And it helps because he looks like the mad prince or the bad prince in Shrek, doesn't he?
Did you enjoy it, Kate? I'm getting the vibe that you quite enjoyed that last
really loved it.
Section of it.
Well, the thing is, I think we played really, really well in the first half. Yeah. And there's this hilarious stat about us having the sixth highest XG in a game of all time, or since records began, right? That's the real quiz.
Imagine how silly that sounded if you had lost the game.
It was point,
beauty, isn't
it? Was 4.5, wasn't it? The XG, so that suggests that we should have been able to score.
Yeah, also if you're coming out with that, I mean, I do believe that is Jules's line from this season and last season.
Yeah, great point. Yeah. So a lot of the headlines and all that sort of stuff is like, you know, Tottenham steal a win, but it didn't feel like we stole a win.
The performance was there. The goals
Leicester
were just
were
at odd times.
2-1 until 94 minutes and 52 seconds.
I mean, the second goal is unreal, isn't it? Leicester, have essentially, you can see in their heads, they think the next kick is going to be the final whistle.
Yeah.
We've lost 2 points here. That's so annoying. Tielemann's just not thinking at all. He could pass that out wide. He just passes it straight into a bundle of Spurs players. And that ball from Kane to Bergwijn is unbelievable. And obviously, he's still got a lot to do to get that finish away. But that ball is laser sharp.
You're talking about the final goal.
The third goal, yeah. Spurs goal.
The point about Bergwijn, yeah, is exactly that. Because he rounds Schmeichel, but he could... I mean, I did think it might not quite... Because it kissed the inside of the post, right? Or whacked off it to some degree. But he... In that situation, how many players would have just like leathered it over the bar or into their...
Yeah, I mean, it's the second time that happened to Soyuncu in the game, really, didn't it? Because if you think the way that Harry Kane, when he was scoring the first goal...
Yeah.
Just did like kind of like a hezzy and waited for him to slide past him, used his momentum against him. And actually, Bergwijn did the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
He thought, right, he's going to slide in and I'm just going to put it in the other corner.
Mm.
So he can't get it despite using his massively long arm.
Yeah. But he probably was doing covering the near post you're talking about. So
yeah.
He's probably doing the right sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Also,
if Bergwijn gets that chance, having not scored the first goal, he's not going to score it.
Yeah,
but it does make a massive difference.
It's such a momentum thing.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's incredible. Also, I love the thing about, oh, don't you love it and think it's silly normally when someone dives into the net to grab the ball, and Harry Kane did that after our second goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, oh, bless him.
No,
he's putting
it's
so
rare that
you
see
that. No time. Why are you doing it? There is no time.
But it was not even you idiot. Sorry, that's not what I thought. I was like, oh, bless him. He's just showing everybody that we really believe.
But it's, you know, it's all about those incremental marginal gains, right? And
what
that is, as you say, that's the first time I can remember that actually working.
I couldn't believe he was doing that.
From a Leicester point of view, I am furious with them. Like, there is a big argument for Leicester that, like, you know, they feel like a lot of people's second team, even now, even so long after them winning the league. And I'm stripping them of that status for me personally. Also, I think it should go further than that. I think they should lose their city status. So to me, from now on, they are Leicester Town.
Because they actually, they defended pretty well right up until that very end. Like, they were, you know... It was
so generous.
It was last
They defended pretty well until like utterly collapsed in the 95th minute.
They did utterly collapse because the whole time that, you know, they were at least, it was clear that they were trying to pack the box and they had 100 men behind the ball the whole time. And then they just sort of Maybe they got tired out. It's like the opposite of what happened with Ben White and Arsenal in the Carabao Cup.
But it's
they just
sort of
got
a bit like
tired
saying,
and ran out.
Well, some of the Wolves managed to stay up in the collapse.
Yeah. What else? What other mitigating factors can we bring for Leicester? Because I just want to share like joy around. And I don't think I'm going to be able to for any Leicester fans.
I think that's fair, because if we take the Arsenal stroke Leicester part of it out of the equation, it was, of course, it wasn't Aguero, but it was kind of that ballpark, because it was so late and it was so improbable. I made the same noise that I made when Aguero scored.
Oh, could you give us a little...
I was sort of, oh.
That's more like Gary Neville, isn't it?
Louder than that. More amplified, obviously.
Ow.
But no, I think it was one of those moments that was incredibly exciting for a neutral as well. Something that happens so rarely. But having said that, if this was going to happen to anyone outside the utterly hopeless five or six teams that are at the bottom of the division, it was going to happen to Leicester. I mean, they have been a defensive shambles all season. That is A, what's going to stop them getting back into Europe. And B, I wonder if it sort of means something has got to happen with Brendan Rodgers at some point. I don't think he's in imminent danger or something like that.
Okay.
But if they stop moving forward, do club and him look at where they take it?
Well,
next?
I think this is absolutely indicative of that starting to happen, isn't it? Because, you know, they've got this, they've got a reputation now as bottling it when it matters, essentially, if that's not too crude a way to put it. But with
Rodgers...
I thought
you were going to use a certain term, but I'm glad and grateful that you didn't.
And just because they're outside the elite, I don't think we can overlook the fact that, you know, Leicester now are not Leicester plucky little underdogs winning the title under Ranieri.
No. I thought you were going to call them Spursy.
They're geared for... I was going to say...
You do it. See how it feels.
It feels great right now.
Yeah, it means something else this morning.
Yeah.
But like Leicester are geared for success. They have a significant wage bill now. And that means... there is expectation, at least expectation to be doing things better than they're doing them at the moment.
I mean, that is the bare minimum, isn't it? So when you're winning at home in the 95th minute, even dropping a point there is a disaster with what you've mentioned there, Andy, with them geared to be competing for things and to be trying to sort of break into the European spots on a regular basis. It's a huge, huge problem. Normally it happens a bit later, but it's chronic, isn't it? It keeps happening.
And it was a shambles. It was an absolute shambles.
And I mean, they're missing a lot of players,
but still.
So, look, mitigation, if we could, you know, they have got a lot of players away through AFCON. I think it's four players, and they would have also probably lost Ademola Lookman because he's about to transfer to Nigeria, but he didn't manage to get that through before AFCON. So, you know, compare that to Tottenham, they've got, well, one player, supposedly, but it's a player, it's Saar, who we've loaned back to his original club. So that's an impact. They've also had issues with COVID. I know everyone's had issues with COVID.
Yeah, exactly. I think what's the remarkable thing, I guess, on the other side of that is two players who had the biggest influence on that second half, Doherty and Steven Bergwijn. And given that they've spent like January and a substantial chunk of December trying to sell Bergwijn. It's remarkable that they're the two players that pop up. But, you know, this is part of the landscape that we're living in, where, as you say, like players are dropping out here and there. The fact that you get unlikely heroes, that's why it's a shame, actually, to see. And I'm not going to go back into the whole, you know, teams calling off games when they shouldn't be or whatever. But...
yeah, Jim, we're not going to go back into that.
That is the shame about, one of the shames about why they're not getting played, because you get the chance for new heroes to emerge or players who you don't expect to be recycled and come back to the fore, which is quite nice.
We should point out, though, that Bergwijn, so he's been injured since Boxing Day. So that was his first time. You know, he came on in the 79th.
Yeah, he'd be first pick otherwise.
Good point. Came on in the 79th minute, certainly had an impact on the game, one could argue.
But that is a good way for him to kind of build up to where he wants to be, isn't it? So start building a reputation as an impact sub. You know, like next time he comes on, everyone's going to be like, come on, let's see what happens here. So I think Bergwijn, when he's played well for Spurs, he looks like a really good player. He looks pretty exciting. So, like, Conte, one of the real sort of plus points of his time at Spurs so far is he's improved them so much, so quickly. Like, so many players. When he first came in, everyone was saying, oh, you look around that squad, how many good players do they actually have? But they're on this really, really good run now. Bergwijn clearly is someone who could benefit from that. And yeah, it's all looking rosy, isn't it?
I mean, part of...
Bullshit.
Mate, you're in a Carabao Cup semi-final that you haven't been crushed in tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Could win.
I mean, part of the Conte thing, though, is,
yeah,
you know, as you say, bringing more out of existing players, a lot more out of a lot of existing players. Part of the Conte thing is deciding who you don't like and completely ostracising some of them, though.
Prefers to kill.
That might be the chairman until he gives him enough money for transfers.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything about Tanguy and Ndombele at the moment. Mm. But Bergwijn never looks susceptible to being that type of player, because even when he's having a poor match, you're getting everything out of him. You know, you can never accuse... You can accuse him of falling short, maybe not being good enough for what Spurs want over the medium to long term, but he's never not giving you a shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Brentford played Man United.
You're good at that. All right, we can.
Tell us about the top four race. Where do we stand?
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay, so Spurs are now unbeaten still in nine, since Conte came in nine league games. What I don't understand in amongst all that is what happened in the Carabao Cup semi-final, and I can't understand that. But lucky for us and for me generally, possibly, we're playing Chelsea at Stamford Bridge at the weekend.
That is a very positive spin on that.
In terms of my understanding of the situation.
Oh, right, you'll see, it'll be a yardstick.
I don't know what the factors were that made us so terrible.
Yeah,
I haven't still been able to understand. I've watched the games, I've watched the highlights, I've watched the games back. I still can't understand why we look like such a different team. And I mean, obviously Chelsea have been a really good side for much of the season, but they're not right now. So it'll be very, very interesting to see that game.
Yeah, I mean, Spurs are the form team going into it league-wise. So that will be an interesting clash, especially given the two games between the two teams recently.
And so we are now above Arsenal with a game in hand. Don't know if you...
I was aware of that.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Just want to keep just keeping people up to date. We're just a football podcast, Jim. And the thing is as well, because of how, as you mentioned, Brass, how the games have played out and not played out, Tottenham have still got all these games in hand. So, yeah, one over Arsenal, what is it, four against Chelsea and two v Liverpool.
Yeah,
so,
four
yeah.
against Chelsea is mad, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. So, probably not going to win them all, but maybe. Maybe we're going to. Why? What do you think is going to happen in the top four? Brass, alas.
Yeah, I think Spurs will make it. But
big call.
I believe
he's cock a hoop after last night as well.
No, I believe in Conte. It's that simple. Yeah.
Well, and that wraps up the half. No, okay.
Good procrastination attempts there.
All right, fine. Brentford 1, Manchester United 3. Manchester United's are probably still the story of this one because they weren't that good, as Thomas Frank pointed out afterwards. They're unbelievably lucky. I know you need to take your chances and all that crap, but I am so proud.
They really did ruthlessly take their chances, though, didn't they?
Manchester United.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That chested pass from Ronaldo in the build-up to the first goal was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Brilliant stuff. You can see why he was annoyed to come off for once.
I'm never...
You're bored now and you don't want to talk about this game.
I just... Ronaldo having a tantrum.
Yeah, it's a bit old now, isn't it?
It's a bit old news.
He's what? Is he 36, 37?
He's 36.
Like, come on, man.
Like,
he's been stating all over the place he wants to play till he's like 40 or 41 or whatever. It's like, yeah, but you know, there are going to have to be some compromises for that, aren't there?
Surely you have an
ounce of humility that can recognise that.
But he's made compromises in pretty much all of the areas that count, I would say, in terms of he realises he's not the player of 2009 anymore. Mm. He realises he needs to be served. He realises he can't play every minute. I think this is anyone else, this is so not a big deal.
Oh, okay.
I
but,
it,
but,
I
he, but
think,
that You can't subtract it at all.
Yeah, you're right.
Does, and the whole point is he's in to kind of give Manchester United a sort of focal point and some backbone and whatever. And what is it? The attitude, you know, the attitude, the training ground mentality, all that stuff. That's what Ronaldo is supposed to bring in amongst other things. And the kids are being the grown-ups in here.
There's two ways of looking at it. Is he meant to be pleased to be taken off?
No, but...
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Doesn't it sow division immediately if you do that? It's like him very publicly kind of...
pushing against.
Disagreeing with a manager, essentially.
Yeah. Is it his Sarri Kepa moment?
Yeah, he's really comparable to Kepa. Is it getting subbed for Harry Maguire? I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not defending him. Obviously, it was a bit childish, but he's totally consistent with every other bit of hate behaviour from the rest of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
why are we surprised? I suppose
what's essentially happening here is. We're looking at a dog and complaining that it barks. That's what's happening.
So look, Manchester United won 3-1 in the end. And as we've heard already, Thomas Frank said that they were very lucky and that he had said a million other things that were quite fun. The way we smashed them in the first half was fantastic. I'm so proud of my team. All this sort of stuff. But we often would make the argument, Brass, that managing to grind out a win when you're not the better team is a sign of a good team, right? And we're not applying that here, are we, really? Or are we?
Well, Thomas Frank's not applying that that here. And I think if you felt bad for Brentford, listening to Thomas Frank talking off the back of it, I think completely cleansed me of that. I felt fine about Brentford losing after that.
Really? You didn't like it?
No. I mean, I can understand how you can be disappointed and frustrated, but I thought he was... beyond being a sourpuss. And the thing about, you know, them not even picking Jadon Sancho, well, Jadon Sancho wasn't there for a family bereavement. Maybe he didn't know about that.
It's possible.
But seeing that it was quite widely publicised, I would be surprised. I thought that was clumsy and unfortunate at best.
Yeah, and he could have picked so many other... If it was a mistake, it's a shame. And if it wasn't a mistake, it's really horrible.
Yeah.
Because you can make loads of examples of people that they're paying, you know, Martial, for a start, you know, people they've paid loads of money for that they're not using properly.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I mean, I think we realise what Manchester United are and where they are. Also, for him to, like, totally cut off the bit that United were good in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah, I mean, they really were, though. I'm surprised that this has become the narrative around the game. Like, they were just ruthless. They were really clinical.
I mean, is having a good goalkeeper game in the system? I'm not sure it is. I think it's pretty much part of football.
Yeah, oh, they were only good because you goalkeeper. Yeah, the goalkeeper plays for the team.
I think the progression for United, well, you could argue that it's regression in a way because they didn't play brilliantly well in the entirety of the game and won it due to having superior quality players, which is pretty much a description of 95% of the games I played under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But I think the difference is the goals themselves were like little combination pieces.
Yeah.
Finally, you feel like something's maybe working.
Yeah,
and of course, if De Gea makes those saves in the first half, it doesn't matter. But nevertheless.
All three goals are really well crafted, I thought.
Yeah.
Like the first one in particular, Fred turning into Pirlo with a sort of like this deep-lying playmaker role. And from that, what a finish from Elanga as well. Like to essentially kind
nice of, bit of improv.
Tee yourself up with a header is absolutely very, very difficult improvised skill. But yeah, I thought they were really good. Great for Marcus Rashford to get a goal as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's become a narrative, isn't it? And he took it with aplomb, really, really clinical. Just good to see. Also good to see, you know, nominative determinism in action from Thomas Frank as well. Always a fan of that. Always a fan of that.
And Ralph Aniek, is Frank at the moment as well,
yeah,
too.
God, it's
which
brilliant.
Is quite good to see, you know, from where we're sitting. It's nice to see how it's all playing out, and it's interesting to see how that works, particularly with regards to his pre-match comments about Paul Pogba and just... you know, being quite honest about, we're both probably here for the next 4 months and
good,
we're just trying to win a few
contract,
win a few games.
If you missed that, it was essentially running it going, I mean, Pogba, he'll probably play really well because he'd be looking for a move. It's like, it's just, it's great.
It is enjoyable. It really is. All right, then, it's time for a break, everybody. On the other side, we'll go through that 2.5 minutes piece by piece again. Don't go anywhere.
Hold up. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. This week, Clive Anderson is joined by comedian Stephen K. Amos on My Seven Wonders, the show where guests select their personal seven wonders of the world. Stephen discusses his fame down under, who inspires his comedy, and how he got on during lockdown.
My dad, early 80s, came to stay with me for 2 weeks of the lockdown. I had no idea, after all these years, that he is a twat. I had no idea, Clive, that the heating in my house could be set to lava. And I said to him, why is the heating on so high? And without skipping a beat, he just said, I don't pay the bill here. Now, this is the kind of thing I have to deal with.
Listen to My Seven Wonders with Clive Anderson on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
I never know what to make of that. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's me, Jim, and Andy Brassel in your ears today. We've got some email. We've got an email for you.
They're reading out your emails. Yeah, 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 yeah. They're reading out your emails. Because they were sent in to show at footballramble.com. Where all the best banter originates from.
So James Royston has been in touch with at email. He says, listening to Tuesday's episode, my ears pricked up at the mention of Guernsey as my beloved Basingstoke town are playing them away this weekend. There was some scepticism at the idea they may have used a helicopter to dry the pitch. I can confirm the theory, at least. In the early 90s, my dad treated the family to a luxury Caribbean holiday. And as luck would have it, the England cricket team were playing the West Indies at the same time. Unfortunately, on the day my dad just happened to have tickets, there was heavy rain. Unperturbed, we arrived at the ground just as a police helicopter lowered itself above the square to dry the surrounding surface. The ground was also being attended to by scores of convicts from the local prison.
Wow.
An extraordinary can-do attitude. And play began later that very day. I mean, that really takes a turn at the end, doesn't it?
There's a lot of twists in that.
Yeah.
How do we get from Basingstoke town away to like a luxury Caribbean holiday?
God, that's just one symptom of the range that Ramble listeners can supply.
Absolutely.
And I guess the Ramble itself, although Wow, Guernsey. I'm interested how Basingstoke Town get to Guernsey. Is it just a short flight? Part of the kind of, is there a helicopter shuttle
ferry
run? It's a ferry. Shame. They're rowed
flight
over by convicts. I don't know how it works.
That's Basingstoke Town and their charter jet.
Well, they all take helicopters.
I like the idea.
They're taking this seriously.
Yeah, probably.
And it's not just being used for the travel. It's being used for technical and useful brochures as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, and I'm glad that the play was able to begin. It sounds like a very well-planned family holiday.
I've just started being a little bit concerned, actually.
Oh, yeah?
When it says Dad treated the family to a luxury Caribbean holiday, cricket. Is your dad Alan Stanford? That's what I'm concerned about.
Right, back. If you don't share your surname with your dad. Tell us more, James Royston. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Tiny little nugget from the AFCON. Egypt 1-0 means that they have gone through to the knockouts. They haven't exactly been free scoring, although that's true to say, Jim, of quite a lot of the sides in the AFCON. People have said, you know, it's partly because they had no bloody time to prepare. They were just straight out there and straight into the tournament.
Yeah, it's been quite low scoring, but it has sort of started to pick up. I think the knockout's going to get really good, actually. And Nigeria, I mean, they are the only team, actually, to win all of their games in the groups, which is astonishing, really, given there was a very sort of low expectation around them before the tournament because they've got an interim coach, which is a strange situation, who, despite the job he's doing, is not going to stay on afterwards. And they were missing a lot of players because in one of the stranger international incidents of our times, Nigeria were in a bit of a dispute with Watford. So, yeah, they're doing really, really well, and they've been one of the teams to watch. So, I look forward to where they go. And Comoros are still alive in the tournament as well.
I'm so pleased they're my new team, I think. Like they're a sort of more successful Faroe Islands for me.
Yeah.
Wimbledon had a Comoros international for
really?
A season. Yeah, Jimmy Abdu, who's borrowed from Millwall. Oh. Hit the crossbar against Spurs at Wembley.
Wow.
Good man.
Yeah.
Doesn't count as a shot on target, as we know.
But, yeah, so Comoros...
You've had your Tottenham bit of today.
Sorry, sounds
she's
great.
Relentless.
What
man.
Do you want me to say? It sounds
Honestly.
Great. It sounds really great. I've already said I'm supporting Comoros. I thought that was implicit. Carry
just
on.
Just not
Jim.
Against Spurs. Not unreasonably.
Yeah.
So I think for Comoros to go through, I've crunched the numbers, which I am notoriously not very good at. But I believe Sierra Leone, they have a better goal difference than Comoros. So if they draw.
So this is, this is based on the third place finish permutations, isn't it? Because the point is, it's like the Euros.
Yes.
You got to be
third place finishes go through. So Comoros need essentially Sierra Leone or Tunisia to lose. And there are some various, other kind of fiddly permutations in that. But let's just keep our fingers crossed for Comoros because that'd be brilliant.
Yeah, because Sierra Leone, I feel like they've been quite good.
They've been surprisingly good,
They've been
ripping up the narrative.
So if you're waiting for Sierra Leone to slip up, Comoros, you're going to... I don't know, you're going to have to work hard at that. Fine, great, fingers crossed. Keep supporting them, right in if you're a Comoros fan, or if you were already a Comoros fan, I should say.
Yeah, I mean,
before the start of this
I believe we've had correspondence from Svalbard, so I think that might be the most obscure place we've had correspondence from, so there might be someone in Comoros listening.
Oh, bring it, please, show at footballramble.com. Quick dip into the transfer market, also known as the Newcastle update, from what I can tell. Do we listen to this? Do we talk about this? Apparently they're interested in triggering Mario Balotelli's release clause. They're not really, are they?
The source for this is quite interesting though, isn't it?
Yeah,
quite telling.
The president of his club, Adana Demirspor, it sort of came out in the UK like yesterday, but it was something that he talked about at the weekend where he said, well, you know, Newcastle have sort of been in touch, which what I take that to mean is one of the million intermediaries who've thought we could maybe make a few quid out of them have asked about Balotelli. I can't tell. He's got a release clause. We're not going to get rid of him. I can't tell you what the release clause is. It's 10 million euros.
2 + 2 = banter club. That's what they've done, essentially.
He was like, I was listening to their very good English-based podcast and it suggested to me... Mario Balotelli would be keen to join Newcastle.
But look, I'm keen for Mario Balotelli to join Newcastle, but unfortunately not the people who are relevant in this are interested in it, I think.
Yeah, we're all keen. You were admiring Hatem Ben Arfa's first shots after he signed for Lille as well, Andy, weren't you, in the papers?
He looks marvellous, Nick. He's ready to play at the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how he gets on. What do you reckon? Well, he hasn't been playing for, 6 months?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, a little bit more than that, because you left Bordeaux after some sort of dispute, obviously, at the end of last season. And he was linked with a move to Tunisia at one point.
Right.
Yeah, some interesting ones out there. But look, I won't be happy until he's done a Maisy dribble for every club in Ligue 1.
Yeah.
And he's played for like half of them now.
And is there legitimately like enough in the tank that he might go on one of those like runs of form where everyone's like, he's brilliant again. He's really back at it. Because surely that stops at some point.
Yeah, I wonder if that has begun to stop. Apparently he looks great in training. I mean, right. We don't all look great in training, but... Right. You know what I mean?
Sweaty, sad mess in training.
Do you know how old Hassan Bonhoeffer is?
34.
Oh, damn it, you do.
I've not followed the joke there, have I? I apologise.
Wrong crowd. Wrong lineup. I had no idea. I would have guessed at 36, mate. He's not going to play to 36, is he?
Sticking with proper Newcastle transfer news, Sevilla defender Diego Carlos has somehow become embroiled, Brass, in a full transfer saga in a matter of days. He's apparently told Sevilla that he wants to leave to join Newcastle. So he's just inviting himself to the party here, is he?
Yes, I suppose so. But Sevilla are in a good position, really. They can charge exactly what they want for him. A, because it's Newcastle. B, because he's got an enormous buyout clause. His head has clearly been turned by one particular thing. And I'm not saying that's wrong by any stretch of the imagination.
You have to extrapolate what exactly that is.
A massive load of money.
But that is what Newcastle need at the moment, isn't it? You need those players who are like, you know what, I am
mercenaries.
The thing is, like, I think it's long since been debunked that you are either a mercenary or a good player.
Yeah,
you can be both. I think that's fine. Like I've said about him before, I have my doubts about his immediate adaptation because he's a terrific defender. Does have a tendency to dive in a bit high up the pitch, which I think
that is what we want from a Newcastle player, right?
It is.
So I think that's, and you look how defenders often take a minute to adjust to the pace of the Premier League. Now he's played in France as well, of course. So the physical side of it is not an issue.
Did you just become Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I thought you were about to become Portuguese and then you wanged into Wenger.
I wanged into Wenger.
So, Roman accents.
Oh, Olivier Giroud, is that you?
So, look, the fact is, if he doesn't adapt, when you're a defender and you don't adapt the second you arrive, people just write you off as useless. Yeah. It's different because if you're a striker, you turn up, you score a couple of goals. Look at Alvaro Morata when he signed for Chelsea. And everyone's like, oh, he's doing great. No one noticed that he didn't actually adapt to the English game at all. I think it will happen because of this. But, you know, he's not like down in tools or refusing to play. He played last night at Valencia and he's pretty good, actually.
If you want more European stuff, Andy Brassel is going to be with you later, aren't you? Football Ramble presents.
Bit of On the Continent.
Brand new On the Continent. You've got David Cartledge, you've got Dotton, you've got Brass. You've got a party. Is it a work event?
Well, it's very much literally a work event.
You're going to be talking about what happened in Sevilla versus Real Betis and a couple of big stories in France as well, including... Oh, yes. More about Hatem Ben Arfa. Well, I mean, I don't even need to plug that anymore, do I? Get over to Football Ramble Presents for that. Also, in potentially transfer news that's not going to happen, or is it? Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang linked to this Saudi club?
Yes. Well, they've kind of offered themselves to him, haven't they? So we'll see if that's appealing to him. But the idea is, it's weird that they've come with terms. It would be like an 8 million obligation to buy, would it? I think that might be a little bit premature. I think he will get other offers. I would like him to be reintegrated into the squad for the rest of the season, personally, because I find the situation sad. And obviously, you need everyone pulling in the same direction. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I guess so much of it depends on Arsenal's business in this window. If they bring a striker in, I cannot imagine that the Vlahovic thing is going to happen. I'm trying to stop reading about it. But I can't.
How's that going?
It's everywhere. It's like it's been beamed directly into my eyeballs. Admittedly, on the websites I choose to visit, but still.
You've got to do the mute function.
Yeah, I think I might have to.
I think if you were a reader, if you were a player and you're a reader of transfer speculation, I think you look at this Al Nassr potential move for Aubameyang. And if you're Aubameyang and you're reading that, you're thinking, oh, 8 million potential clause. That leaves a lot more for my wages.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And actually, it could be quite a good thing for Arsenal. But anyway, as
well,
you said,
I mean, because the rest of his contract is £25 million in wages. So getting that off the books would be nice.
And Arsenal play tonight as well.
Yes
they bloody do, Jim. They're going to win against Liverpool. It's going to be extraordinary.
I hope so.
At the Emirates.
It is.
You've gamed the whole situation.
Yes.
Arsenal against Liverpool. In case you've forgotten, it's 0-0 from the first leg because they're clever as hell. And
yes.
Especially so is Granit Xhaka. Thank
you for backing me up on that.
Yes.
It was all deliberate. It was all a deliberate ploy and it's worked perfectly. Although we haven't scored against Liverpool in some mad amount of time, like hours and hours of football. So I'm hoping we can change that tonight. Also, it feels weird to have not played for a while. You kind of wonder about the momentum. And obviously Liverpool are an excellent team, even without Sarah.
Oh, my heart fucking bleeds. You know, you could have played.
Who?
Tottenham.
Yeah, well, no, that would be worse, wouldn't it? That would have been like...
You say that to Arteta's face at the press conference yesterday?
Yeah.
Had the North London derby gone ahead, Kate, and had Arsenal and Spurs been playing each other in this tie, that would have been three North London derbies this month. Could your nerves take that? Mine could absolutely not.
It would have been like that El Clasico month, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, just like...
It would have been exactly
just like the two best teams in the world, locking horns.
It would have been exactly like that.
Look, we know it was a big night last night, Mace, but come on.
Yeah.
Oh, just floating around the place. Well, off the back of that, apparently the Premier League are considering changing their rules for postponements. But
Jim, I'd ask you, can you do it without Sead Kolasinac?
I don't think that will have any bearing on whether we can or can't do it.
It's a bold claim, Jim. It's a bold claim.
Yep, he's off to Marseille. He's
paid another one to leave.
His agent's pulled a blinder there, I think. He's got quite a long-term contract.
He's done very well there.
A year and a half, which is longer than he should have, I think.
Absolutely brutal. And all of your players have just returned from the dead. Everyone's just back to health. It's a miracle.
That is healing works.
It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
Yeah, obviously, players being back is cheating, isn't it?
You made it sound like you were the healer there. That's how healing works.
I think
come on, Eileen.
I think Mikel Arteta is the healer. He says we will defend our club with teeth and nails.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's also what Granit Xhaka was channeling.
Some Twitter wag said that means we're back in for Luis Suarez, and I enjoyed it.
Credit where credit's due, Twitter.
Yeah, can't remember who said it. So
occasionally, you'd turn
credit
up something
where it's
decent.
Due.
Well, Twitter, you know, the mass of Twitter. It's not always shit, and people aren't always abusing you.
Yeah.
Good on them. All right, then. So, as a more dispassionate person, Bryce, you think probably Liverpool are going to win?
I don't know. Like I feel that Liverpool should win because I don't want Jim to have to go through the disappointment of losing to Chelsea
in the final.
And also, I don't want you to get sent a League Cup final winning mug you had to go through last
that
year.
Was so
sorry,
win at the runner-up mug.
Finalist.
It was Carabao Cup finalist.
Yeah.
The worst. Oh, what a neg. You guys have got some weird thing about the League Cup, though, especially given how good you've been in FA Cup competition.
Yeah,
you haven't won it since '93.
Yeah, the Sheffield Wednesday weird cup double where we played them in both finals. It would be really nice to win it actually because it's been a long, long time and obviously winning things is good, isn't it? So I think it's a tough old final with Chelsea waiting. But yeah, we've lost a few finals. I would love us to win it.
I really would. Good luck, Jim. I hope you do well. Thanks for listening.
I genuinely do hope you win it.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for chatting. On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Vish and Luke. We've got three. Oh, it's a triple sub. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking out?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.